God bless you all.
No lies.
No lies, no promises. I know how you feel. Now, Charles asked me about 10 days ago to preach tonight, and he's starting a book of 2 Corinthians. And I've got the overview ready. I'm going to do an introduction and overview to the book. And it's been a blessed time this last month or so, but very busy. And I've preached several times, like a week in the last month or so. Something I shared the other day, I was asked about this. And it's something I shared on. And I'm the one of people who say, God's told me to do this. But I believe very strongly that I should share this tonight. And I mentioned this to Charles. So that's what I'm going to do. We're in the book of Luke, chapter 24. Just give him what he wants.
Luke 24.
You know, what I'm going to preach about is something to share about. Who's a Christian? Can I have a show of hands who's a Christian? Not to dig out the ones who are not. Thank God for those who are. Thank Hallelujah. God for those who are. You're a Christian, Joseph. Thank you. About time. If I had to ask for another show of hands, that you're trying your best to serve God, trying your best, and try your best, don't you? And try your best. And it's like it's all just gone wrong. Can I have another show of hands? Yeah. Who can say they've had their faith crushed, smashed? Yeah, we're depressing a lot tonight, aren't we? You're not in bad company. What I want to share about this in the book of Luke 24. It's what's known in the Christian calendar. It'd be Resurrection Sunday. What's Resurrection Sunday? Some of you might not be Christians. You might not have heard. You might not know. Why would you? I don't know about you. I wasn't brought up to go to church. I wasn't brought up to go to church, pray, sing songs, read the Bible. I wasn't brought up to do anything. I was 21 years old when the Lord saved me. 15th of May 2005, 7:45 on a Sunday night, I heard this, the background to this story, I heard. And God saved me. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, he left heaven, he come to earth, he lived a sinless life for around 33 years. And that's another thing, what's ever sin mean? I know sin. That's Jimmy Savile, Bin Laden, Hitler, they're sinners. Yeah, they are. But the Bible also says that you and me are too. Tell one lie, you're a liar. Chore one thing, take something that don't belong to your faith. I used to tell lies to earn a living, and when lies didn't work, I used to chore. But we're all sinners. But the Bible says that sin separates us from God. The Bible says that one day we breathe our last. I hope you live way into the future. I hope you live hundreds of years. But the Bible says one day we're going to breathe our last. The Bible says when we breathe our last, we stand before the God who created us. And our sins leave us condemned to hell for all eternity. And the Bible says there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing we can do to deal with our sin. There's no way we can justify ourselves before God. There's nothing we can do to get rid of it. No good deeds you can do. No good life you can live. It won't eradicate. It won't get rid of your sin. The Bible says that God did something about himself because only he could. The Bible says Jesus was born, lived a sinless life, didn't do none of the things that you and I did. Walked on the water, raised the dead, made blind people see, made deaf people hear. This is at the end of the book of Luke. You started the book of Luke, see the miracles Jesus did throughout the Gospels. But the Bible says he was taken and he was nailed to a Calvary's cross. The Bible says before he was nailed to the cross, the Bible says that he was beaten beyond human recognition. That takes some saying, doesn't it? I've seen people have some bad beatings, didn't you? You watch things on the telly, someone's boxing matches on the telly, go to visit someone in hospital, you see someone's had a car crash, God forbid, but you still know it as a person, didn't you?
No!
I've seen people in some bad states, but you still, she's alright, she's over on the chat. She still knew it as a person. You still knew it as a person. I agree with you. The Bible says Jesus was beaten beyond human recognition. That Jesus Christ was so badly beaten, he didn't even resemble a human. The Bible says that he was scourged, his back was whipped. And he's might have watched The Passion of the Christ. The Bible says he is so badly beaten that in the book of Psalms, the psalmist writ that his back was like a ploughed field. Imagine something hanging up in a butcher's shop window. Oh, this is only my take on things, but if the crucifixion of Christ was actually recorded, I don't think it'd be allowed to be shown anywhere. I think it's so gruesome and barbaric what Jesus Christ went through. The Bible says he had a crown of thorns pushed upon his head, beard pulled from his face, he is stripped, and he is nailed to a cross. The Bible says he shed his sinless blood, died upon that cross, he took down from the cross, he is placed in a tomb. But the Bible says 3 days later, he come out of that tomb alive. The Bible says he was dead, but he come out alive. You're a Christian tonight, Jesus is alive, do you know that? You know, when we sing about, read about, talk about, he is alive. He is a true and living, risen Saviour. And the Bible says, if you want to put your faith and trust in him tonight, come to him on these terms, you'll be saved. Nothing light and life can do for you. No minister, no church, no organisation. Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. Put your faith and trust in him. The Bible says, wash you clean. And the other Bible says, saved to the uttermost. Saved to the uttermost. I used to hear people say, yeah, God saves you, and he chucks you a rubber dinghy, and you just got to try your best. No. He pulls you out of the water. He rescues you and takes you with him. Saved to the uttermost, the Bible says. If you've got a friend for yourself, we're in trouble, aren't we? He'll pull you out of the pit, and he'll save you. Be a wise man. Be a wise woman tonight. You believe in that. But that has just happened. Jesus, and this is what I'm about to read now. Jesus has came. Jesus lived this sinless life. The people have seen the miracles he's done. They've been with him. He's been taken. He's now nailed upon the cross, dead, and he's placed in a tomb. And the story catches up with two disciples. Two of Jesus' disciples who have seen Jesus die and placed in a tomb. And their faith was smashed. After a show of hands, who's ever had something when it's all in life, it's all gone wrong, your faith smashed. These two men was in exactly the same position. Now behold, two of them were travelling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which is 7 miles. Verse 13. Which is 7 miles from Jerusalem. Sorry, from verse 13. So two of them, it says, they were walking out of Jerusalem to Emmaus. Where did Jesus get crucified at? In Jerusalem. They're going. And they talked together of all the things that had happened. I don't want to spiritualise. I don't want to start going, I don't know exactly what he's talking about. But I know one thing they was mentioning. He's dead. He's dead. He's done this. He's rose the dead. He's made lame people walk. He's made deaf people hear. He's dead. What's going on? So it was while they were talking and reasoning together. Listen to this. Jesus himself drew near. They're upset. They've lost Jesus. Who comes? Jesus. You know what? Whenever Jesus shows up in the story, it always gets better. Whenever Jesus shows up in your situation, it always gets better. But their eyes were restrained, so they didn't know it was him. So, they're heartbroken, their faith is smashed, and they're off ski, they're getting out of Dodge, they're going their way, because Jesus is dead, no one knows what's happened to Jesus, Jesus has shown up, and they don't know it's him. You know the Bible says, you know God says this, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. You know what it means? Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Even when your feelings are bad, even when you feel like you're on your own, even when you feel like God's abandoning you, God's forgot about you. You know what? God hasn't forgotten about you. Do you believe in that tonight? Do you agree tonight? Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Good to know you're with me. But Jesus is in this situation, but they don't know it's Jesus. Jesus is there. They don't know it's him. They're upset because they haven't got Jesus. Jesus is there. Look what Jesus says. The first thing Jesus says to them, I love it. You know, people say, has God got a sense of humor? I believe 100%, most definitely. He has to have a sense of humor. You say, B. But without any reasonable doubt, look what Jesus says to them. What conversation you're having with each other? Why you walk and you're walking a sad? What he's saying is, Goldie, what are you saying? What the F are you going on about? You must have spent an hour with Bill. You're so miserable and depressed. What's wrong with you? What are you being like that? What can you possibly be talking to each other about to be looking so miserable? That's the first thing Jesus says to him. What is ever is the matter with you two? Walking along, dragging your knuckles. And you heard a saying that someone's so low they could walk under a door with an hat on. They're so low. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to Jesus, but he doesn't know he's talking to Jesus. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Don't you know the things that's happened these last few days? So Jesus said, why are you two so miserable with each other? What's wrong with you? And they're going, where have you been? Don't you know what's going on? Have you heard, don't you know the things that's happened? And I love what Jesus says here. What things? What? Do you think Jesus didn't know what happened to him in Jerusalem? Do you think Jesus didn't know anything about the crucifixion? Do you think Jesus didn't know that he'd been crucified upon a cross and placed in a tomb? Do you think Jesus didn't know? Of course he knew. What's he say? What? Tell me. These two men, their faith is smashed. And we see now Jesus brings about restoring them. Jesus brings them from a state where they're in a bad spot, and we're going to look at the end of it, at what God does to them. But you know the first thing he does? He gets them talking to him. Do you know what talking to God is called? Come on.
Prayer.
What things? You know, God, he already knows. What? Tell me what. He knows, but he still wants you to tell him. God knows what you're going through. God knows what you're feeling. God knows what so-and-so's done, what this one's done, what this one's done, how you're feeling, what you're going through. You know, tomorrow, he already knows. He's there. We don't know about tomorrow. He does. He's already there. But he still wants us to go to him. The Bible says that Jesus said this. Your heavenly Father knows the things you want before you already ask. I've shared this before. If the Bible says, if Jesus says our Father already knows what we want, why have we got to ask? It's a fair point, isn't it? If he already knows, why have we got to ask? And I've shared this before. My wife has shared the same story 2-3 times a day. It's all new to me. have you ever had a WhatsApp on your phone? A message on your phone? Pray for so-and-so's cousin in Australia. Right, so-and-so's cousin in Australia. His brother-in-law's best friend broke his leg. I don't even know who so-and-so is. I know Australia ain't in Kent. I don't know who so-and-so is. I definitely don't know his cousin who's broke his leg. But I've got a prayer request here to pray for so-and-so's cousin in Australia's brother-in-law's leg. So you pray. Lord, I pray for so-and-so's cousin in Australia for his brother-in-law's leg. I pray, Lord. And you're praying to God. Oh yeah, you know so-and-so. So-and-so's in hospital today. Lord, I pray for so-and-so today, Lord. Lord, I pray for so-and-so. Lord, I spoke to so-and-so weren't in church the other day. Lord, I pray for so-and-so again today, Lord. Oh, Lord, God, and the next thing you're pouring out your own heart before the Lord? You ever done that? you know, with snot and tears and everything running down your face, but you started off praying about so-and-so's brother-in-law's cousin's leg. That's what prayer does. You talk to God. Look, he does it to him. What things Jesus says? Tell me. He wants you to tell him. You know, your faith's smashed. I promise you he wants to hear from you. I might not want to hear from you. You might want to hear from you. Someone else might not want to hear from you. I promise you God does. So he said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, he is a prophet, mighty indeed and well before God and all the people. And he had a chief of priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. Look what he said. We was hoping he was going to redeem Israel. He did. Don't worry about it, he did. Besides all this, today is the third day all these things have happened. Yes, a certain woman from our company arrived at the tomb early they didn't find his body. Someone said they see a vision saying he was alive, but we don't know. See, they thought Jesus was going to drive the Romans out of Jerusalem. That's what the Messiah was going to do. They didn't know he was going to die for the sins of mankind. It's a bigger mission, wouldn't it? But they start pouring out their heart to him. What things? Jesus. Jesus. He's dead. Jesus, who's done all these things, is dead. Jesus has called Lazarus out of the tomb, put in the tomb. We don't know what's happened to him. My faith's smashed. That's what they're saying to him. He's gone, and so am I. He's gone, and so am I. I don't know about you. I'm not going to bring you in this. I felt that more than once. Who told me drink? Faith. My faith's not. I felt like that more than once. I felt like, oh, listen, perhaps I shouldn't. Feelings are terrible. But I felt like more than once. He's gone and so am I. He's gone and so am I. I don't know what's going on. All I know is, I'm off. Thank God Jesus knows all about that. He's in their situation. So they just pour out their heart to God. That's what prayer does. They started off ridiculing. They started going, what are you so miserable for? They started having a bit of banter about it. Well, you're the only stranger around here. Don't you know what's going on? What? Now they're pouring out their heart before him. You know, when your faith's smashed, you need to do that. You need to do that. You need to pour out your heart. And how about this? I shared this in a prayer meeting the other day. How many of you have wanted to try and pray to God, but you can't even get the words out to pray? Have you been like that? I want to pray, but I don't even know where to start. Because I'm so... whatever's wrong with me. Do you know that's a prayer in itself? You know, to want to pray is a prayer in itself. Lord, I want to pray. God, I want to pray to you. I don't know where to... I can't even give myself the position to pray to you. You know, that's a prayer in itself. I believe he understands that. The Bible says in the book of Romans that sometimes we don't know what to say. The Spirit cries out, groanings. Too painful for us to mention. I don't know if they're speaking in tongues. I don't know. Could it be? Maybe. But I do believe that. We don't know what to pray. God hears it. God knows. God knows your brokenness. God knows it.
Amen.
When you're broken, you don't want it, the words can't come out. He knows. He's heard it loud and clear. I promise you, yes. He has heard it loud and clear. He has got the memo. And he's definitely interested. So they start pouring their heart out before God. What does Jesus say to them again? Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. He said, what's wrong with you? Tell me what the Bible says. Ought not the Christ have to suffer these things and entered into glory? So they poured out their heart before him. He's, what's ever wrong with you? Come on. So they've had a conversation. Praying. They poured out their heart before God. Look what Jesus does here now. Beginning at Moses and through to all the prophets, he expounded to them all the things concerning himself. They just poured out their heart to God. And you know, you open God's word, he pours out his heart to you. They just broke out their heart before God. And when we read his word, he pours out his heart to us. They've prayed, they've spoke to him. Now God speaks through his word.
Amen.
They see, he started at Genesis and going through to the prophet, at Moses and to the prophets. So he started off at Genesis and went through to Malachi. He took them through the word of God. I was going to drink that, no? No more. No more. I still will, don't worry. The Bible says this. Their faith was smashed. He's right, listen. Don't worry, it's not a problem, is it? The Bible says their faith was smashed. But what does the Bible tell us? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. He starts putting the word of God into them. But he said all the things about him. Would he have started off Genesis 3:15, the first promise that the Messiah was going to come? Would he have read Psalms 22? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, his dying words upon the cross. Would he have read Psalms 53? His pierced for our transgressions, his crushed for our sins. I don't know. All the things about him, he poured out to him in the word of God. And you know what? Jesus could have just gone, bosh, restored, It takes time. You had to sit down and go through the Word of God. He said he started with Moses and through to the prophets. I don't know if it's 5 minutes or 5 hours, but it took some time. You know, something restoring takes time. And and it takes discipline to read the Word of God. It takes time to pray. It takes discipline to pray to God. That's why I've shared this the other day. That's why the Bible calls us disciples, disciplined ones. The things we do as Christians are disciplines. Prayer is a discipline. Reading the Bible is a discipline. How about this? I can look at rubbish on my phone for hours. People skateboarding off a roof or something. I'll watch it for hours. Read the Bible. I'm snoring. I can talk on WhatsApp for hours. Start talking to God. I'm asleep. Please God, I'm the only one. In God, I'm praying. You need to pray. Christians, you know you need to pray as a Christian. There's a true saying, isn't there? If you only pray when you're in trouble, then you're in trouble. If you only pray when there's a problem, then there's a bigger problem. He opened the Word of God to him. Boss, we need the Word of God. The Word of God is for living. Jesus said it himself. Man, don't live by bread alone, but every word proceeds from the mouth of God. Now look at this. Verse 28. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and Jesus indicated that he was going farther. So they're going, like, I'm going here now. Jesus is like, I'm off. And they said, no, you don't. You stay here. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's getting dark. And the day's already over. So he went in and stayed with them. You know what he said? I don't know who this fella is. I don't know who this mush is. But he's making things better. I don't know who he is. But he ain't going nowhere. You know the best place to put the Lord's right in the middle of your problem. Let him be in your problem. Don't run from him. You know also what they was doing? He was telling them about God. They're talking about the things of God. You know what it's called? It's called fellowship. He's got them praying. He's got them in the Word. He's having fellowship. You know when your faith's smashed, you need your brothers and your sisters? You know what? I need you. Guess what? Usually some of you might even need me. We need each other. You need your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Iron sharpens iron, the Bible says. You're going, no you ain't. You're saying, it's no constraining you. Look, you stay here. It's dark. Don't you stay here. Sadly, I hear so much of it. And I don't say this to be judgmental or condemning. But so many people, when they go through things, they keep themselves away from everybody else. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says draw close. Draw closer to your brothers and sisters. Don't isolate yourself. But so many people don't they? Oh, where's so-and-so? Why haven't you been in church for a while? He's going through something. They're going through something. And I don't say this, like with any joy. Draw closer to the things of God when you're going through something. Draw closer to the things of God when you're going through something. I need him more than ever during these times. Amen. I need him more than ever. And I've preached this in the past. And I don't want this to be a same old thing, but you hear people that are out of church, they're out of fellowship. And like I said, this isn't an attack or a judgment. I say this out of love. But they're out of church. Yeah, they've been going through something, so they're out of church. But they still go to work every day. They're still going to all of this every day. They're still going here and there every day. But just the things of God's suffering. Don't let it be that way.
Go ahead,
dude. You know, next time you're struggling, you're suffering. God forbid you never struggle or suffer again. But you know, next time you do, let them other things suffer for a while, and you draw closer to Jesus more than ever before. You draw closer to him. He knows what you need, I promise you. Listen, you need to go to work. You need to do different things. You know, the first thing you need is him. The most important thing is Jesus Christ. Yes. Now it came to pass, he sat at the table with them, and he took bread and broke it and gave it to them. They broke bread. As Christians, where do we break bread? He took them to church. He got them praying. He gave them the Word of God. He's given them fellowship. And guess what else he did? He took them to church. You need to be in church, Christian. You need to be. Listen, I can't pick on you. I'm not talking about you. I'm going to talk about me. I've had mornings where I don't feel like lifting me head off the pillar. I've had that. I've had mornings where I don't feel like lifting me head off the pillar. But I come because I need to be. I need to be here. I need to be in church. I'm telling you this. Listen, worship's a lifestyle. Worship ain't just like 20 minutes of Joseph singing songs. In church it is, yes. But it's so important to worship God. It's so important to worship God. And I've had times, once again, I don't feel like getting off my seat. I didn't feel like coming in the door, let alone standing up praising the Lord. I've had that. We've all had that. I promise you this. That's what true worship is. Lord, I don't even want to be here. Lord, I don't feel like it. But I know who you are, and you're getting my worship. You're worthy of it, Lord. I don't want to be here. It hurts. It's painful. But I'm going to worship you. And I promise you this. This is biology. I believe that weighs more before God. I believe when you're broken and you don't want to do it, I believe it weighs more. He loves you regardless. He knows all about you. Amen. But I believe it weighs more. You keep yourself in church. If you see anyone else who's missing church, you bring them back to church. You keep yourself in fellowship. Jesus, listen, this method Jesus did. It's Acts 2:42. Same stuff. Look what happens here. Then their eyes were open. They knew it was him. He's restored them. Then he vanished from their sight. Their heart was broke. They've lost Jesus. They've just realised it's him. And he's gone again. But they're not so miserable now. They're not walking away no more. Look what he said. Verse 32. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and opened up the scriptures to us? They said, whilst when we started praying and we started reading the word, didn't something start happening inside here again? Didn't something start working inside here again when I started praying to God and I started reading his word and he's talking to me? These are the early disciples. How much more for us? Starts off, they're on their way, they're out. Look here, verse 33. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. They're going, God's done a work in their life, they're going back. Back at it. He says here, then he found the 11 and those who were gathered together saying, the Lord is risen. He's alive. He ain't lost. He's alive. He isn't gone. He's alive. Jesus isn't gone. Jesus isn't dead. Jesus is alive. And I promise you this, let that risen Saviour do the work within your life, Christian. Listen, you're going to have problems, you're going to have trials, you're going to have tribulations. Jesus says it. I promise you this, let him do his work in your life. You'll live through it. You'll walk through it. You'll serve him through it. You'll be smashed. Your faith will get smashed. Sadly. It's a real world. Horrible things happen. But if you draw close to him, he'll carry you through it. You'll be able to serve him through it. I don't know about you, I find a joy in serving God. I don't know what I could do if I didn't serve God. If I could just go in the shop and tell someone about the Lord, invite them to a meeting, I don't know what I'd do. I don't know what I'd do about being able to serve God. It's not about, I'm not talking about getting behind this. It's every day. If I couldn't try and tell someone about the Lord, or ever, I don't know what I'd do. It gets me through my life. It gets me through life serving him. And he wants you to serve him, more importantly. He was saved for service. But sometimes life comes along and then things happen to us and it puts us in a position where it stopped. There's a solution to that. There's a solution. And it's to draw close to Jesus Christ. Start praying more. I do pray. Pray more then. You know if you don't know how to pray, you know the best thing to do? Pray. You know if you don't know how to pray, you know the best thing to do? Pray. You keep praying until you can pray. You keep praying until you do break through. I do read his word, but nothing's happening. I promise you it is. I promise you it is. It's just us. We're fallen people, aren't we? We have faults, we have failings, we have emotions. And sometimes our feelings overtake us. I promise you his word is doing sense to you. And I promise you when you are praying, he is listening. And he ain't just writing it down. He's just face to face. I was given that advice when I first got saved. I was on a minibus going up London feeding the homeless. I didn't care for too many Christians, to be honest. I didn't like, never had that against them. I didn't really care about too many Christians. Shane's here tonight, I tell you. It's not, I'm not proud of this. But I ended up on a minibus, I was 17 or 18 year old. Smoking a fag, sitting behind him, blowing the smoke down his neck. That's awful. Listen, he told to turn around and choke me, wasn't he? He told to turn around and thank God he never. Thank you for not choking me, Shane. But I knew some Christians, I knew Shane played football with the boys and whatnot. And I knew Jackie, you know, Jackie, I thought, fair play to that man. I don't believe what he believes, but that man goes to all them countries. Fair play to the man. And when the Lord saved me, he's up the homeless. And I wasn't just like you, Uncle Jackie. How do I be like you? I didn't say that to you. I did, but I didn't say it in words. I told Jackie, how do I grow as a Christian? And genuinely, the Lord just took silly. Every time to do, I've done. You know, he said you've got to climb the Eiffel Tower and get struck by lightning. Yeah, let's do it. I thought he was going to tell me. He said, it was on a bus full of people. And he said, we're going to stop in a minute. And when we get off, I'm going to tell you a secret. He told me, what's he going to tell me? I'm telling you a secret. What's he going to tell me? He's going to tell me St. Eve. I've got to go and dig it up. A potion I've got to make him drink it. It's not there no more, but they're up to Charing Cross Station. It's a tea shop now. It was a Vodafone shop. I remember it like it was yesterday. It's 20 years, over 20 years ago. I remember it like it was yesterday. What was he going to tell me? He said, you ready? You listen to this? Yes, tell me. He said, you want to grow as a Christian? Yes, tell me. He said, pray. Yeah. Read your Bible. Yeah. Go to church. Yeah. Fellowship Christians. Yeah, that's it. Your brother's Christian. I was so disappointed. I thought, what's that? Actually, we know that. That's it. That is the secret. That is the secret. Pray. Talk to God. Read your Bible. It'll speak to you. Mix with Christians. You encourage one another and be in church and be fed and grow in the things of God. That's for everybody. And when things start to go wrong, listen, some of the things in life will happen. It will knock us out. Like you can be the best prayer warrior in the world instead of problems. I'm not saying it's going to eradicate you from problems. You're in a better position to face them when they come along. Amen. You'll be in a better position to face them when they come along. And when a lot of people come, especially the youth, I love working with the youth, the young people. A lot of people, when they come to me with problems, I never talk about people's problems, obviously. I always say, are you praying? Well, I prayed last week. Well, there's a problem there, isn't there? You reading God's word? Well, I'll share WhatsApps. You in church? Yeah, everyone goes to church. You fellowship with Christians? Not really. Whenever I go through something in life, I'm looking at myself. Am I praying? Have I prayed about this? Am I praying? Am I spending time in His Word? Am I mixing with brothers and my sisters? Am I doing what God calls me to do? And I promise this, ain't the answer to every problem, but it put you in a lot better position to face them. Let's pray, amen. Let's take this time, perhaps yourself. Perhaps yourself. This would be a good time to start, wouldn't it? Listen, I hope this message applies to nobody. I hope these are all 10 out of 10. It's just me and these breath. He's going to pray for me. Let this be a time tonight for some changes.
Thank you.
Let this be a time for some changes to change your habits.